It's my pleasure to begin the meeting with the invocation, and that will be done by Reverend Joe Clifford. Reverend Clifford has been with us before and is not only the pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Dallas, but has also been involved in a number of community efforts, especially in working with the homeless. This is Help the Homeless Week, beginning on November 17th and last through the 22nd. It'll culminate on the 22nd with the Dallas Help the Homeless Walkathon. Further information about the event and registration can be found at www.helpthehomelessdallas.org or by calling 214-670-1144. The proceeds this year will go towards supporting and building the permanent supportive housing. Reverend Clifford, again, has been with us before. As I mentioned, he is the pastor, senior pastor at First Presbyterian here in Dallas. He has been there since December of 2006. Prior to coming to Dallas, he was pastor of Alpharetta Presbyterian Church in suburban Atlanta. He's a graduate of the Columbia Theological Seminary and earned his Doctorate of Ministry in Preaching from McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago. His undergraduate degree was from Auburn University, and there he majored in economics and went on to a career in banking and finance before going to the seminary. I think you may be the leader. There's a lot of people in banking and finance. Now we'll go into the seminary with what that
I repented of that, yes.
Pastor Clifford, please.
Thank you, Mayor Leppert. I'm a Presbyterian minister, and on Sundays I preach from the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a group of assigned texts. I'm not here to preach, but I find it interesting. Sunday's New Testament lessons all deal with the end of the world as we know it. And all of my Republican friends think that the end of the world has come, and all of my Democratic friends think that the kingdom of heaven has come. So I find myself in an in-between place this day with many of my friends. The Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scripture lection, comes from Joshua 24, which is Joshua saying to the Israelites, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And so I think in the wake of elections and new beginnings for our nation, we offer Psalm 146 from the Hebrew Scripture as our prayer for the morning. Let us pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the aliens. The Lord upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.
Pastor Clifford, thank you very much. Ms. Coop, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Can I ask David Muriba to join me up here, please? It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you David Muriba. He just received a recent appointment as the honorary consul of Uganda. and we are, it's a pleasure to be able to have you. This marks in 2006 that 7 honorary consuls and 1 consul general have been appointed to DFW. On behalf of my colleagues all on the city council, I'd like to thank you for the gift that you're going to present us. Look forward to strengthening the relationship between our country, between this region of the country, and Uganda. In fact, we just had a, as we'll hear in a little bit, an economic development trip with several of my colleagues that went to Africa, and we hope that in terms of building relationships with the entire continent of Africa that we can be successful in that. It's a pleasure to have you, and congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to be here this morning. I became the honorary consul for the Republic of Uganda in July, and I'll be representing Uganda's interests in Texas and the states around here, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. I'm a resident of Dallas. I've been here since 1977, and I'm an engineer by profession. I'm a businessman. I'm self-employed. I have a company in information technology and telecom, and I do business with most of the operators, AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, and the manufacturers, Nokia, Ericsson, and so on. This morning, I would like to present the Uganda flag to the mayor of Dallas, since I'm located here, and my office is right here.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
As I said, we appreciate this sign of friendship. I would tell you, Mr. Mareva, as he mentioned, is a business person here in Dallas. He's the President and Chief Executive Officer of Global Electrocom International. It is a Dallas-based consulting company that specializes in information technology and communications. He is an internationally recognized consultant and seminar leader on the many aspects of modern IT networking, development and management with emphasis on intelligent networks, signaling systems, telecommunication, and management network. He has regularly lectured at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and conducted seminars for engineers and managers at leading telecom companies throughout this world. He's also made presentations, joint sessions of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, and the International Telecom Union, ITU, on the subject of South-South cooperation and cost-effective access to the Internet in Africa. He obtained a bachelor's of science degree in electrical engineering with honors from the University in Kampala in March of 74 and in 77 during a business visit to the USA. Circumstances forced him to stay indefinitely, and that was our win. He subsequently worked for several commercial companies, including Rockwell International, TI, FMC, NEC, and United Airlines in various engineering capacities. Concurrently, over the next 30 years, after that, he pursued a number of different studies and graduate work here, including at Southern Methodist University. He's currently enrolled in the PhD program for engineering management at Kentucky Western University. It's a pleasure to have you, and we very much appreciate this sign of friendship, but also the new representation of Uganda here in North Texas. That will be important to continue to build the ties between our two areas of the world.
Thank you very much.
Very much. Thank you very much. Good to see you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Council. I'm honored to this morning acknowledge and recognize the professionals that lead us in our Animal Shelter Commission. This is Animal Shelter Appreciation Week nationwide, and in my respective district, District 3, which includes West Dallas, we host the Animal Shelter. So at this time, I would like Skip Trimble, who's chairman of our Animal Shelter Commission, and Johnny England, who's a board member, to come on up here, please. Kent Robertson, who's the current manager, and Lynetta Moore. And Kent, why don't you have some of your employees come up here, too? Come on, it's a family affair. Come on. This is good. Okay. Thank you. in, and it's indeed an honor to be a representative in District 3, which includes the location of our new animal shelter. We are absolutely committed as a city to the care and custody of our animals. They're part of our family. They're an extended part. We appreciate Skip's leadership as our chairman of Animal Shelter Commission, and Johnny England, who's a representative on the commission as well. And Kent is the manager of Animal Services, and Lynetta is the assistant director of Code Compliance, which includes Animal Shelter Commission. So I'm going to very briskly read a proclamation from the mayor and the council to honor you and your service, and thank you for providing the care and custody of our friends and our family, our animals. Whereas 2007-2008 National Pet Owner Survey found that there are 88 million owned cats and approximately 75 million owned dogs in households across the United States. Whereas animals running loose and unsupervised cause a threat to public health and safety, and indiscriminate breeding contributes to these community problems and crises, and employees of the Dallas Animal Services and Adoption Center must respond to these community problems and concerns, whereas the Dallas Animal Services helps both animals and citizens by returning lost pets to their owners, enforcing animal control laws, rescuing injured animals, educating the public, and matching families with new animal companions, whereas our new $12.5 million animal shelter, which opened in October 2007, is a 55,000 square foot facility that replaces and combines two facilities. The buildings and the grounds are environmental friendly and is on its way to receiving a silver LEED certification. Silver, we said. Whereas a goal of our new animal shelter, in addition to its continued commitment to outstanding animal care, is to increase pet adoptions. We said pet adoptions. Through a beautiful adoption center which holds 160 dogs, 64 cats, a lost and found area, where can hold 370 dogs and 181 cats, for a total of almost 800 animals, whereas the Dallas Animal Services has done an exemplary job in establishing and staffing a temporary animal shelter reunion arena to care and house the pets of those who travel to Dallas to escape Hurricane Gustav and Ike, whereas it is important to raise the awareness and to appreciate the employees. That's what we're here for, raise awareness and appreciate employees of the Dallas Animal Services for the important and invaluable services that they provide to the citizens of our great city. Now, therefore, I, David A. Newman, as the City Councilman, on behalf of Mayor Tom Leppert and the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim November 2nd through 8, 2008, as Animal Shelter Appreciation Week. Please join me in a round of applause.
Thank you, Mr. Newman, Mayor, members of the council. I want you to know that we express appreciation to you for this recognition, and that we pledge to strive to continue to make Dallas Animal Services the very best in the country, especially in terms of quality of life and how we take care of our citizens and our animals. And may I introduce?
Please.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce to you those that really make all of this happen. Representatives of our staff are here. If you just kind of raise your hand, we've got Matthew Guibarguiz from Registration and Yolanda Ramirez in Administration, Jennifer Selesky, who's part of our adoption team, Dr. Janet Morris, who runs our veterinary team. We have Robert Lee, who's part of our animal, is an animal keeper and part of our kennel team. Tina Mayfield, part of our lost and found team. Sam Robertson, part of our field response team. Luis Gomez, representing our animal service officers, our rapid response team, which I might say this last year resulted in an additional 4,000 animals impounded from the streets. I should say, not impounded, but rescued from the streets, and our sweep team. And again, we thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kent. I'm going to put Skip on the spot for a second. I didn't tell him ahead of time he was going to speak, but he's always good with a microphone. We really appreciate, as a council and as a city, the volunteer leadership of our Animal Shelter Commission. And Skip, you've done a very good job in moving forward and, again, caring custody of our animals. So if you speak for a moment.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and see this award and proclamation given to one of the greatest animal service staff that we could ever expect to have. We're truly fortunate. It's really a tough job. Not only do they have to go out in the field to get the animals, they have to care for them, and they have to find them a home. And so I would like to start this week by seeing if we can take Barack Obama's comment, there's a puppy in the White House, let's see if we can put a puppy in every house in Dallas, and I'm sure they can do it.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you very much.
We're going to get a quick picture over here.
Would you like to make a comment?
Oh, Mayor, you know I wouldn't let this occasion go without saying anything. First of all, I want to thank all our employees and animal control officers that are here today for their great work that they do. We know you have a hard job, and we really appreciate you. Mayor, I also want to recognize, you know, the great job that Ken Robertson, you know, has done for this city in the past. We are delighted to have him back in the city of Dallas. He did a great job in Houston, and we're delighted, Ken, that you're back in Dallas. I know you will do just as well. And then, of course, the leadership of Skip Trimble and Johnny England and all the Animal Shelter Commission members, because, you know, they continue to work really hard as we implement the new animal control ordinance that we just passed a few months ago. It's going to be a lot of work, but they're ready. I mean, they have worked in the pamphlet with our marketing team, Mayor, that is going to be in the mail as we speak. So I'm very happy to see that. I know that they're still working on the areas that we're going to work first, but nevertheless, it's an ordinance that is moving forward. And last but not least, Mayor, I just want to remind everyone that this coming Saturday from 10 to 2, is we're going to be at the Dallas Animal Shelter doing the appreciation, the celebration for all our employees, Mayor, and free registration. So for everybody out there that haven't registered your animals, go ahead, come by the shelter this coming Saturday from 10 to 2, and we will be more than happy to see you there. And again, thank you, Madam Manager, for all the work that you've done in bringing Ken Robertson back. We are happy to have him back, and it couldn't happen without you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate that. Ms. Medrano, please.
Thank you. I know Mr. Carraway's not in just yet, but I joined him at a neighborhood cleanup about a month ago. And I just wanted to applaud Rapid Response, because as we were cleaning up the neighborhood, Rapid Response was in the neighborhood, and I think they picked up like 5 dogs and a few cats. So if someone from Rapid Response could come up to the mic and give us the telephone number for Rapid Response, it would be really great. Or Tyrone or someone could come up and just give us that number so the public will know how they can get a hold of Rapid Response, and so our council members can put it on speed dial.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. The number is 214-670-FAST, FAST. And it operates from 6 a.m. in the morning until 6 p.m. in the evening, Monday through Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Appreciate that. somebody will figure that out. Ms. Koop? We'll get it for you in two. We'll get it for you in two seconds. Okay. In the meantime, while we're getting that, Ms. Koop, I believe you had a proclamation and a special recognition for Dallas Recycle Day.
Another great day. We're going to continue our journey along recycling, and I wish Mr. Carraway, if you're heading towards us right now, no. We want to make sure that you hear this because, and I'll bring Ramon and all up here. Okay. Just want to make sure that everybody understands that currently there's a Recycle Day for the United States and one for Texas, too, I think. But we don't have a Dallas Recycle Day. So today we're going to have a Recycle Day. And so whereas recycling is one of the easiest and most effective ways for Dallas residents to get involved in the City of Dallas's efforts to protect the environment, and whereas we can all do our part to sort out discarded materials from our trash that could otherwise be used again, and thus saving space in landfills, and whereas 75% of what people currently throw away into the trash is too good to throw away and can be used for another purpose, that's 75%. And whereas the City of Sanitation Services has been hard at work promoting the benefits of recycling and making more recycling available to Dallas residents, and has a goal of a residential participation rate of at least 50% of the households and 45,000 tons of recycling by 2011, and we're well on our way of doing that, so we're very proud of that. And whereas America Recycles Day is in its 11th year and has grown to include millions of Americans who pledge to increase their recycling habits at home and work, and well as well as byproducts from made from recycled materials and maybe soon recycled plastic bags. And whereas the City of Dallas is committed to taking a leading role in environmental efforts and recognizes recycling as an invaluable way for the Dallas residents to help protect the environment and build a greener Dallas. Now, I therefore, Linda Koop, on behalf of Mayor Tom Leppert and the City of Dallas and the City of Dallas, the Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim November 19th, 2008, as Dallas Recycles Day and as part of America's Recycles Day, which is really fun. Yay! You were saying words. Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very, very much. It's very encouraging to see how quickly recycling has taken root in our city, and our residents, our citizens, our businesses are really embracing it. So that's fantastic. Texas Recycles Day is celebrated across the state, and we're celebrating in our city. The City of Dallas is coming Saturday with a recycling roundup. There's four or five areas of the city that are being broadcast. Come onto our website to find out where those locations are, because you can bring anything recyclable there, including your paper products, plastic, so forth, but automotive products as well, some of those hard-to-recycle items, clothing, electronics, your old computers, things like that. So log on to DallasCityHall.com, and you'll get the specifics of it, and let's keep on recycling out there. Thank you, Ms. Koop. I was just going to say, well, I just joined the 21st century and got a new television set that's HD, so you're getting another television set. My old one that has the rabbit ears on it. Thank you for your good work. And Ramon, thank you, too.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate that. Could I ask Nicole Johnson, John Swanson, and Laura Leppert to come join me for just a moment, please? I'm also going to ask if I could, Ms. Medrano, Ms. Davis, and Mr. Cadena, if they can join me. I'm going to ask you to help me with this, Pauline. It's a pleasure to be able to welcome Nicole Johnson with us today. Nicole is one of nearly 24 million individuals in the United States that have been diagnosed with diabetes. Now, that's the good news. There's another 57 million that are in pre-diabetic stages. Over the course of the last week and culminating today with a Passport to Health, there is an effort to build awareness, and Nicole has been very much involved in that. You may know her better as the 1999 Miss America, but recently what she has done has been very much involved in building awareness and taking the message out. She has a show on CNBC that deals with living with diabetes. She's written a number of different books, especially dealing with diabetes, and has been one of the very public figures that has gone out and conveyed how important it is to get tested early, to build the awareness, and then to make sure the treatments are taken to prevent further health problems. And it is a pleasure for Carolyn and Pauline and I to be able to present to you, in recognition to both you and Laura Leppard, these special recognitions. What am I doing here? And this recognizes the creation of the Passport to Health Diabetes Awareness and Prevention Day. And the proclamation, I won't read all of it, it does point out, as I said, there's nearly 24 million Americans in the United States, including 400,000 North Texans that have diabetes, and then also mentions the 57 million that I talked about that have pre-diabetes and the importance to make sure that there's early testing, there's awareness built, and there's early treatments that go into that. It also says that whereas millions of Americans lack access to the care, treatment, and education that's needed to manage the disease to prevent the serious, to prevent its serious and costly complications, which include heart disease, stroke, kidney failure, blindness, and lower limb amputation. It also points out that the Nicole Johnson Foundation, which you founded, recognized that diabetes is a devastating disease. It also recognizes you as president of the foundation and as an international diabetes advocate for all of the work that you do to build the awareness, to push prevention and early detection. It also points out that over the last 9 years, you have been involved in this effort and raised nearly $20 million, $20 million for this effort. And it also points out that you're joining with us here in the city of Dallas, along with the Johnson & Johnson Diabetes Institute, the American Diabetes Association, and Laura Leppard in the fight against diabetes through the education prevention activities. And in addition, it recognizes the city of Dallas has proclaimed November 14th as World Diabetes Day, and today, November 5th, as the city of Dallas Passport to Health Diabetes Awareness Prevention. Nicole, we appreciate very much everything that you're doing. I'll present those two proclamations. Cheffy, thanks for being up here. And then, Nicole, I'm also would like to recognize the Johnson & Johnson Diabetes Institute especially. We are excited that they have chosen Dallas as one of the cities to partner with. And the Johnson & Johnson Diabetes Institute has been formed to manage and to master diabetes, to integrate so many different treatments, so many different providers, so many different efforts to build awareness into an integrated approach that really can make a difference in diabetes and, again, address the challenges that we have. This proclamation points out that throughout the world there's 240 million people worldwide and in some of the lower economic areas, not only here in Dallas, and that's a challenge. Our highest diabetes rate is right here in District 7. I know, Carolyn, you're going to talk about that in just a moment. But it's also a disease, unfortunately, that strikes too many people that are in the lower economically disadvantaged areas, both here in the United States and others. I recognize the Institute for pulling together this global initiative, and through this institute, it will open and operate state-of-the-art instructional facilities around the world. Thousands of diabetes specialists in each country will come together, receive customized and specialized training so that they can be more effective in their treatment. And that also recognizes the first annual Passport to Health Expo here and Johnson & Johnson's decision and support of what's being done here locally in the city of Dallas and in North Texas to strike down diabetes. We appreciate very much your role individually, but also the Johnson & Johnson Institute for stepping up to the plate providing the resources, financial and otherwise, to hopefully make a major dent in this devastating disease. So, Nicole, it is a pleasure to be able to present this to you as a special recognition of the Johnson & Johnson Diabetes Institute. Nicole, thank you so much. So with that, before I ask you to speak, Carolyn, Pauline, and Sheffy, would you like to add something?
Thank you, Mayor Leppard. First of all, my district has the highest diabetes here in the city. We are working, hopefully, with the Baylor Hospital and the Baylor family to open up a diabetes center in the South Dallas South Park area. That will be a part of the rec center is working on that along with Park and Rec. But also, diabetes touched many of us. I had a family member to die from diabetes. My grandfather also died from diabetes, so I do understand it's a education awareness that we must educate ourselves about diabetes. And I'm very glad to be a part of this with you, Mrs. Leppard, and the Johnson & Johnson family. And Nicole, I'm so glad that you're here, and keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Laura Leppard, for your leadership and your effort in this. And Nicole, thank you for being here, and hopefully it'll open the eyes of many people that are struggle with and are living with this disease. As I mentioned last week, my family is touched with diabetes. A couple of years ago, one of my brothers was diagnosed with diabetes, and just this year, one of my nieces and my sweetheart has just diagnosed last month with diabetes, so it's real near and dear to my heart. As I was reading some of the stats, I was amazed that 24% of the people that have diabetes are unaware that they have diabetes. So with this Passport to Health Expo here in Dallas, with the leadership of Leppard and Ms. Johnson and Mayor and Sheffy and Ms. Davis, we thank you and hopefully, and of course, T.O. for coming last week to really open the eyes and make diabetes awareness just a priority in our city, because it affects everyone. It touches everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Leppard, for being here and for allowing me to be part of it. I also have diabetes. Has affected my family. My grandmother died with it, and I remember I was a younger man back in the late 50s, and we didn't know much about it then. And I'll tell you, we have done multitudes of things to move forward in diabetes since then, and I'm just glad we're hopefully getting to where we are going to be able to manage it. And I know a lot of it depends on the people that have diabetes to help you help them manage it. And that's where the education comes in. And that's what we need so badly, is to continue with this education. And thank you guys so much for being here.
Well, Nicole, again, thank you so much for what you've done. Would you like to say a couple of words, please? Thank you, Nicole.
Oh, thank you so much for these generous recognitions, and thank you so much, Mrs. Leppard and Mr. Mayor, for supporting this wonderful day of diabetes education and awareness, and to the council members who I hear so many of you are going to attend later, thank you for giving of your time and your energy and your hearts to this cause. I am so touched at your acknowledgement of this public health condition. I will celebrate 15 years living with diabetes next week, and so this is very special to see this type of awareness blossoming throughout this country, and I can only hope as one of the 24 million that we see even more of it in the years to come, because there certainly is incredible need. There's incredible need for early detection, for prevention of the disease and prevention of the complications that are so incredibly devastating, as we've heard. And there's also incredible need for education that meets people where they are and with their
with realism and addresses their environment so that they can better figure out how to deal with chronic disease. So thank you for supporting this, and hopefully this is one of many opportunities to help the people of Dallas defeat diabetes.
Thank you very much. Nicole, again, thank you very much. Again, the Passport to Health is today at Music Hall at Fair Park, and there'll be a special luncheon, which myself and a number of my colleagues will be there. I know, Nicole, you'll be there, and my wife, Laura, will be there, and we're excited to be there for that. And again, thanks so much, and please, again, convey to the Johnson & Johnson Institute how much we appreciate their involvement in the effort in total and their commitment to North Texas. Thank you. Should we get some pictures?
Mr. Atkins.
Thank you,
Madam Mayor. You know, again, Mayor Lepper, you know, Carolyn Davis, also Madrono and Shepherd Cadane. My mother passed away. She was a diabetic, And one thing that I learned a long time ago, that when she went through that situation, it's a very, very difficult situation for the family. First, my mama left her, lost her a leg. Then it got to the point that you could not do dialysis anymore. And that's the problem. You can't do dialysis anymore. And the doctor said, I can't, because they cannot find a vein. And we need to educate more young people about the world of diabetes. And by doing that, I hope that everyone, you know, when you get checked for prostate, cancer, whatever, colon dialysis, that we need to check for diabetes. That's something that you need to catch you at an early age. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Appreciate it, Mr. Atkins. Before we go to the speakers, I'm going to ask Mr. Atkins and Ms. Hill, who were just involved in what I believe and what I think we'll find out was a very successful trade mission to South Africa, again designed to build economic ties between Dallas, North Texas, and between South Africa, and hopefully using that as a bridge to strengthening the economic ties through all of the continent of Africa, as I mentioned a moment ago. To give a short presentation on the efforts of that trip, but also where we want to go from here. So can I turn it over to both of you?
Thank you, Mayor Kirk. Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Leopard. I didn't say that. I didn't say whatever. Whatever Mr. Atkins is telling you, I said I didn't say it. Thank you, Mayor Leopard. Mr. Atkins and I were indeed privileged to travel to South Africa recently. Traveling with us were Ms. Beth Huddleston, Chief of Protocol for the City of Dallas, Ms. Regina Hill from the Economic Development Department of the City of Dallas, who is now the Senior Liaison for African Missions, and the very beautiful and talented Mrs. Marcella Atkins traveled with us as a guest. Council members, we wanted you to get some idea, because we recognize that everyone may not be familiar with the geography of South Africa, and so the map on the front of your booklets, and I do believe each of you has booklets, has the map of the places that we went. We began, the mayor has talked about the mission's goal. And in a word, our goal was to establish friendship, and more importantly, trade and economic opportunities between the City of Dallas and cities in South Africa. We are primarily interested in bringing South African companies to Dallas to establish businesses here, to enhance our tax base, and to offer jobs in Dallas. There was one place where we went, we saw that we were going to need to do some investment there, but primarily our interest was to bring businesses to Dallas in the areas of high tech, education, healthcare, transportation, distribution, and the industries. Our initial stop was in Cape Town, the very beautiful Cape Town. We were welcome to Cape Town, where the Western Cape population is 4.5 million and the population of Cape Town itself is 3.2 million. Cape Town is the place where the Lion King was filmed, and it is the place where the Atlantic and Indian Oceans meet. At Cape Town, we were privileged to be hosted by the United States Consul General, Dr. Alberta Mayberry. She's the one smiling and in the red. Mr. Atkins and I are smiling because we really were all the folks. The Consul General, as you know, is the White House abroad. We were excellently hosted and as a result received as very high government officials. We met with the Cape Town Vice Mayor Grant Haskins, and Vice Mayor talked with us about their city structure in Cape Town and their local governmental structure, which differs significantly from ours, and we will be glad at another time to talk with you about that. Also, while in Cape Town, we visited an American company that is based in Cape Town called Teletech. It is a call center. They took an old match factory and converted that into a call center. It is something that if we could bring that same concept to Districts 5 and 8, we would be happy to do that. But we saw how that worked, how that facility was totally contained, how the workers are there, how they're treated, how there are places to eat, places to store their goods, etc. Following that visit, there is Mr. Atkins.
Thank you. First, I'd like to thank Beth Hullison and also Regina. And although Regina is very, very new at this position, but she did a great job on the front end and on the tail end of the deal. And thank you very much for your support on this mission. We went to Cape Town, and it's very rare you say. History always repeats itself. In 1994, the city of Dallas hosted the World Cup here at Dallas, and Brazil played someone else. And also in 2020, you know, Cape Town is going to be one of the host cities to have the 2010 World Cup. And what we were trying to bring back to the city, maybe an exhibition game from South Africa and Mexico or the city of Dallas to use the venue of the Cotton Bowl. And Paul Dyer is one of the persons I've been talking to him briefly about that venue could happen there. That could be a great relationship with South Africa and the city of Dallas. And that's the reason why. Number two, we went to West Grove Economic Development. West Grove is a huge company. You know, when you want to do business in South Africa, you have to go through West Grove. They are the economic engine that drives South Africa to bring new business to South Africa. Also, we try to use that tool to bring those South African businesses to the city of Dallas as one. Next picture.
In order to bring business, we do have to have money. We met with banking officials from the Associated Banks of South Africa. Those officials met with us over a lunchtime meeting, and that included Chamber of Commerce representatives, because we talked to them about how to get money out of South Africa to bring to Dallas. That is one of the obstacles in getting businesses here, and that is how do you get money out of their country. But we think we can work with the banking industry in America to make that happen.
And also, we had a conference call with our mayor and the new mayor, Nesbitt, you know, Chill Yo. He's a young governor mayor, and the mayor left had an opportunity to talk to him to try to build a relationship with the sister city at Nesbitt and with the city of Dallas.
In conjunction with that, we signed on your behalf, council, a letter and intent and a memorandum of agreement. You see us working hard, slugging out the terms of that. Mr. Atkins, we'll talk with you.
Well, number one, you know, it's great when you have an attorney with you, a lawyer with you. You know, when you go up to look at documentation, you don't have to call Tom Perkins. I don't think Bob's still trying to take your job, Tom, but it's good to have, make sure all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and the commas direction. To sign the document, you know, it was a funny aspect. You know, we had the mariner and also was Von Steele and I sitting there. We got two signatures, two against one. That couldn't work, so the mariner said, well, I got to bring his debtor pro tem in, so it's two and two, so we even. So that's a good negotiating that we are going to build a relationship between Nesper and the city of Dallas. Next slide. The second thing, we went to a port called Durban. And Durban, ironically, it's a port that they are going through major changes. If you're familiar with the port of Houston, where they try to drag their channel to make it deeper for bigger ships, and that's what they're doing. They get to the point of trying to have an inland port to have haul and to maintain their cargo shipping out. Next slide, please. Okay, number one, this is the person who is in charge of the port. Now, this person is a new person who just got there, and it was very ironic, you know. He was more into the aviation department, and they said he needed to come to the port. He'd never been on the water a day of his life, and also they hired this person to maintain this port. And he's doing a great job, and the channel that Durban is having right now is run, it's pointed as a shipping lane. Their problem, the Panama Canal is going to cripple their business because they cannot get to the shipping lane. And most of their freight is going to Asia, by way through Asia back to the United States. But most of the shipping lane is going to come in the East Coast through New York. Next slide, please. And then we have an opportunity to look at, you know, like Bronsfield said, previously there are two oceans. You know, there's the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. But now we are in the Indian Ocean. And you see that the container ship that they have there, and those ships is going all over. But one thing they are doing in the future is to try to build an inland port to make sure that container ship, the container is getting on the ship on a timeline basis. But also they have one problem. They got to develop, and they need to learn how to develop.
After visiting the port at Durban, we were back to Johannesburg for a business meeting with approximately 35 business, civic, and religious leaders. Unlike America, as you know, in other parts of the world, the religious community is a significant part of doing business with anyone there, and all of you know that. We were hosted, and this meeting was hosted by Dr. David Malapo, who is very well known throughout the continent of Africa. He is head of something called the ICANN Consortium. That consortium is one of the businesses that we were able to bring back to Dallas. At the Johannesburg ICANN Consortium meeting, you see us dining with business and government and religious leaders, but the picture on the right is the man who was one of the chief producers of The Lion King and the voice of The Lion King. We had an opportunity to visit with him, and he will be present in Dallas at our invitation to visit with our arts community.
Number one, we also had a great opportunity to go back to Johannesburg, and it's very, very, very amazing when you're in one part of the country to the next part of the country, you see the transition, what is going on. They decided to take an abandoned warehouse property and try to build an inland port. But they have one problem. They need education. They need to learn about logistics, how to do it. And the biggest problem they have is, number one, when they first got there, they said, what is container? How do we move these containers from that inland port to the port? And the biggest problem they have, they did not have another education in logistics. And what they did, they started hiring older people, you know, 65 to 70 years of age. And when they did that, now they got a problem because they did not educate the young people to take over. They had security. They had security problems, the warehouse problem. A good example, it takes maybe 12 trains to load a ship, but then, too, the train is public. And you got a private company trying to make sure those trains load on the time for the ship, and they had all types of problems. And so I think there is a good deal that what we cannot Mitch say he's not old, but Mitch down there, you know, he's probably old Mitch if he was there. But anyway, you know, but then too, the biggest situation which they have is they do need help. Next slide. This is the major problem has security. They are not adequate. They do not have adequate security because they are young, and this piece of property is 2 years old. They also have problems with zoning, screening the cargo from the resident. And again, there's great opportunity there in Johannesburg and in Maputo, but also they need help. Next slide. Now, this slide right here, and I did this for one reason. I took this picture. I was 2 feet from this elephant. 2 feet. And he got in the wild. There's no gate in between. And I was ever allowed, I could touch him.
Yes.
And the reason why I did is, number one, because of the zoo. You know, we are trying to do an African exhibit, and we need to be a fast pace in time, because you do not go to Africa without seeing the elephant. And if Africa comes to see the Dallas, they got to see our elephant too. So that's why I took that picture.
In addition, Mr. Atkins's idea was to establish as one of our business connections an African safari connection between business persons in America who want to hunt big game in Africa, and we would organize that from our end and make it a business endeavor. This is a sunset over Johannesburg as we were leaving the big game reserve. We think that South Africa offers promise for new friendship and new trade partnership with the city of Dallas. We were able to solidify three companies that will be coming here between now and next spring to actually put their businesses on the ground. We were able to be in contact with approximately 25 other companies that we will be discussing bringing their business here. We were able to look at the sports facilities, as you heard Mr. Atkins say. The team worked well. My job was to set the stage by talking. Mr. Atkins' job was to close the deal. Ms. Regina Hill's job was to make sure the paperwork was in order and that we had the proper follow-up contacts. Ms. Beth Huddleston's job was to make sure that we did not make any international faux pas, and Ms. Marcella Atkins was along to make sure that we properly had tea, that we had tea, and that we were properly attired and coordinated. The team was excellently placed together. We will have to do follow-up visits, but we are very happy with what happened on the trip. We believe that it was good for the city of Dallas and good for South Africa. We're grateful to you, the council, for allowing us the absences and the opportunity to share with you what we think is a very promising opportunity for partnership. Thank you, Mayor.
And by closing, I want to call Paul Dyer, please. And I kind of briefed Paul, you know, on this statement before we make the statement. Is number one, the 2010 World Cup is the first World Cup to ever set on foot of Africa. And we look at soccer, and soccer is a worldwide event. And I want Paul to let us tell us a little update what we're trying to do here in the city of Dallas now.
Thank you, Councilman Atkins. As you know, we were the host for the 1994 World Cup, and we learned a lot through FIFA and developing the International Broadcast Center at Fair Park. And Fair Park was touted as the best World Cup facility that they had used in many, many years. Spain and Barcelona was good, but they said Fair Park eclipsed that. And so we gathered a lot of experience from World Cup and understanding what happens. And so two things come to mind. We can also assist them as they get ready for their World Cup in 2010. Also, we are seeking to get them over here for a game maybe with Mexico to have an international game to come into to the Cotton Bowl. So those discussions are currently going on through Mr. Atkins. So we're very hopeful that that might bear some fruit for the Cotton Bowl as well. So.
Thank you very much, Paul. And also, Paul, here's a cap for you. And we want to say the city of Dallas Cotton Bowl 2009.
We would be remiss, Mayor, if we did not thank Ms. Glenda Agetti for assisting in putting together this presentation. We thank the other staff members, but Ms. Agetti worked very hard on putting together what I believe is a very nice presentation to have for this council. If there are other persons in the room who want a copy of the presentation, she did make sure that we had some extras. Thank you, Mr. Atkins, for being a marvelous, marvelous business deal closer. Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity.
And also, Mayor, thank you. And also, Mayor Bassoon, thank you and your staff for following us. You know, I know we gave you a whole lot of time about Africa, but I think it's worthwhile.
Right. Thank you.
Well, I would just add a thanks to not only the entire team, but especially the two of you for taking the initiative and moving forward. I've had a chance to travel through most of South Africa, and I share your view that there is potential there. And I think was indicated, as you said, by the number of companies that have expressed an interest already and the potential companies that are there. It is important, if we're going to be successful as a city, that we reach out on an international basis and establish a presence on the world stage, and your efforts are very much appreciated. Again, I think your last slide is a good way to end it. Both a combination of friendship and trade partners that are going to be important to our success long into the future. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, both of you.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Rosanti.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Again, I want to thank everyone who went on this trade mission to South Africa. It's a very, very impressive presentation that you did. I want to thank you, Judge and Fennell, and everyone who went. Most important thing, this is could be the start of a first step in the future business dealings. I heard in your presentation that there might be someone who's interested in moving.
Right.
It's very important that economic development and our protocols make sure that these steps are followed up, and continuing to make contact with these people and try to do whatever we can to get them here. But it's whenever we call on future customers, we have to continue to follow up on them. I think it's a great that we went, that you went, both of you went, and hopefully we'll see something from it. I want to thank both of you and our protocol, Chief Protocol. Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, let's go to our open microphone speakers, if we could.
Thank you. Good morning. We begin your morning speakers with Artis Dean, followed by Jorge Check. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You'll see the timer on both screens. At 20 seconds, the numbers will turn amber. At zero, they will turn red. If we ask that you please stop speaking and allow the next individual to come up. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Artis Dean. And
Second.
Okay. You made the motion to do what now?
To substitute speaker.
All right. First motion, all in favor, any objection? All right.
So we'll go ahead.
Go ahead. Next question.
Good morning. My name is Mr. McGill. I am the construction manager with Dallas Youth Bill. Dallas Youth Bill is an educational facility designed to help at-risk youth in the city, the southern sector of Dallas. Mm-hmm. We're here today to just kind of give you a brief concept about what we do. We take students age 16 through 24 off the streets of Dallas, and basically what we do, we give them educational needs, being have they dropped out of school. We address the issues as far as GED or either high school diplomacy. Also, what we attempt to do is put these students on jobs. We teach the world of construction to where these students are allowed to come in and learn the construction trade. Not only the construction trade, but we have career paths, which means we align them with whatever career they decide that they're going to go to. Today, we're only here today to ask for the city support. Whether it be anything that we can get from the city that will allow us to arrange our students even with jobs or either educational needs, we're here asking for the city support. We've been in operation for the last 3 years. There are over 200 youth bills across the nation. Dallas has the only operating one here, and we're the only one right now that's operating in Dallas, the first one actually. And we're here asking for the support of Dallas. We have students that are currently been through. We have one of our students here today, which is Montreal Powell. He's one of the actual students that came in with his pants sagging, shirt on, bandana hanging out of his pocket. And it's a joy to say today that this young man that we produced, he is now wearing a suit and tie. He has been down to Washington, D.C., rubbing elbows with the big Congress folks. And we are just elated to be able to come back and bring that type of information back to you and say that we are trying to produce what society has said has failed.
I just want to say that the program works. You know, I came from being incarcerated, facing 50 years and more. I turned to Youth Bill, and came, you know, gave me support. I wasn't a bad person. I just didn't have anybody, you know, to provide, you know, direction in my life. And you know, I went to UofL and they gave me direction. And you know, in the end, you know, got my GED and I'm the representative, spokesman. I got certification in construction. And been to Washington D.C. two consecutive years, and I now supervise, you know, the students and manage them. And you know, I work along with other staff members, and you know, UofL works, and we just here asking, you know, for you all support and helping us rebuild our communities and our futures, and you know, giving us a second chance at, you know, life. So I just want to say it works. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Atkins.
Ask that young man to stay.
Yeah. Will you please stay?
Yeah, stay up, sir. Yeah.
Mr. Atkins, of course, are y'all a 501c3? Good, okay, good. Second question, number one. You can see that in this community, if you take, if give a person a second chance, what can happen? And remember, the youth is the people who is going to the future, who build the city of Dallas. And we got some great people out there, but we got to give them opportunity to do something else. Thank you very much for coming. Councilwoman Hill. Ms. Hill.
I need y'all to come back to the mic, please. We're not quite finished. Come back up here, please. I want you to know that we're grateful for all of you for coming, but I particularly want to address the young man and to say to you how very proud you make us. You make my chin higher and my back straighter by being here. We say so often in our community that because we make a mistake early on does not mean that we are to be crushed forever. And unfortunately, too many African-American males are crushed in this society perpetually because we see only what used to be. You are a clear example of what used to be no longer is. I'm proud of you. You keep doing what you do. You hold your head up, and no matter what obstacles come in your way, you keep moving forward. Thank you for being here.
Just stay there for 1 minute, please. All right, let me just kind of chime in and just say to Mr. Dean, we need that type of leadership, and you are to be commended, you and your entire organization. Two, I'm going to make an announcement, but also with a statement. One, as you know, I've done team summits here at City Hall and took the lead and the charge with that and the Allen Company and with through you all's support and sponsorship. We've been able to bring teams in, not from my district, but from all around this community, and to give them the guidance and the opportunity. Now, granted, I started the Pull Up Your Pants campaign, and now I'm talking to you, because as you said, that once he was sagging, and now he has since then stopped sagging and has found a better direction and rubbing elbows all the way up in Washington, D.C. You'd never have a chance to really rub those elbows in Washington, D.C. if you continue to sag. Now, I know we don't have to worry about you sagging anymore. Now, this is where I'm going, because you all have asked for some help, but we need help too, and I need help. Tomorrow there's a press conference here at City Hall, and all of my colleagues, of course, will be invited. I don't know if their schedules are going to allow them to come, but 97.9 and myself, we've teamed up together, and it's been on the radio since Monday. We're doing this Saturday at 9 o'clock in our team summit, a sagging Saturday. We're going to have a sagging Saturday here at City Hall this Saturday morning. We're inviting all of the saggers, everyone that sag, everyone that believe in sagging,
everyone that supports Sagan, we want them here at City Hall. Now, here's the deal. We need to have folks such as yourself here so that we can transform that message of success to the Saggers, so that we can possibly change their minds as your mind has been changed, to show a very positive direction and the capabilities of correcting our appearances, the effect that it would have on their life. Just as you stand there before us today in your suit and tie looking just as sharp as a tack, I want you to know that. We applaud you and appreciate you. The way that you stand today, help is there for you. I want you to know it. And we're going to not say that help is not going to be there for those that are sagging. Our responsibility to change the youth into the right direction, Mr. Dean, and to all of you, will be for us to come out here and show them and give them the good success stories of how, yes, we used to do, but this is where we are and what we're about today. So just want to commend you and need you all's help on this Saturday. It's Sagging Saturday here at City Hall, okay? We appreciate you. Keep up the good work. Mr. Dean, I'm sorry. Ms. Coop?
Thank you, Wayne. Just a couple of things that you asked for some ideas, and one idea might be, because we're so involved in the Trinity River Project right now, that having your skills in construction services to help us build trails and overlooks and that kind of thing would be very helpful, so we can get you in touch with some of our park folks that are in Groundwork Dallas that are helping us with those initiatives. And the other day, the City of Dallas has a program with Habitat for Humanity and the EPA whereby we build green homes for folks, the first in the country. We did about 10, I guess, have done 10 so far, and there's supposed to be another set going on very soon. And that might be something, you know, the new wave is not white collar, not blue collar, but green collar jobs. And in construction industry, the construction industry has gotten on this really pretty rapidly, this green collar jobs, especially to build buildings and roadway projects and so on and so forth that are sustainable and green. And it might be a good opportunity for y'all to learn something about what types of green methods that you can use to build houses now, and the appropriate paints and materials and that kind of thing, because that is going to be where the future jobs are really going to be. So perhaps we can get you in touch with those folks too, and that might be an opportunity for your young folks to learn about, because I really do think that's the way of the future. We appreciate y'all being here. Appreciate that you've honored us telling us what your program is. So thank you very much.
Councilwoman Madrona.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Thank you, Mr. Dean, for being here. I'd like some more of these brochures. I'm going to have something on Saturday. I could use more of these brochures for the area that we're doing an event for. I had a meeting with State Representative Rafael Anchia about a week ago, and he is going to introduce, he'll be introducing a new energy bill with the state of Texas, and much like Ms. Coop mentioned, the green collar workers. It's something new. I know that former President Bill Clinton, while he was in Dallas a few weeks ago, spoke to a few ministers and talked about groups like yourself, about, you know, once they could get to a new level, they could actually be consultants in their community about, you know, energy savings. So I would definitely contact State Representative Rafael Anchia to see what will be in his bill, because that definitely is the wave of the future. Thank you. Yes. Madam Manager, will you please give them the contact numbers for the Park Department and maybe Mr. Anchia's number, so they can be in communication with us?
Yeah, we will do that. And we've worked with this group before. They have CDBG contracts with us, so we're familiar with the group.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being with us. And again, I think those were terrific suggestions from both Ms. Coop and Ms. Madrono on different ways to get involved and see mutual benefit across. So we appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much. Madam Secretary?
The next speaker is Artis Dean. Next speaker is Jorge Check, followed by Esther Evans.
And I'm here in favor of the Cesar Chavez name change from Industrial Boulevard to Cesar Chavez. But I also wanted to try to persuade some people who may be against it as to why we are trying to honor an American citizen born in the Yuma, Arizona. His legacy started with the United Farm Workers. But we can't ignore the major transitions that the children of the farm workers have made, whether be it in the construction fields, in the restaurant services, home and commercial building. If we look just around the corner next to the American Airlines Center, we have an enormous growth of commercial buildings that have been made by the undeniable labor force of our Hispanic workers. I want to state to those who are against the Cesar Chavez name change that we, as a Hispanic, we don't have many leaders that we can say in the past have contributed an enormous amount for America. I'm happy to say that now, as of yesterday, I am happy to be an American where we see Senator Obama is now our new president-elect, and we see our Sheriff Lupe Valdez get reelected by an enormous amount of votes. That is, my friends, what we call America. I invite anybody who has many myths about Cesar Chavez to go to the Cesar Chavez Task Force website and see how much fact and what he has done as a community and in the nation. I also want to remind that Cesar Chavez is not only an American, but he's also a World War II veteran. And I ask for you to please vote against Riverfront. Please vote in favor of Cesar Chavez. It's the right thing to do. Vote with your heart and not to appease those who are against an American hero, an American veteran, and an American. So I thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Esther Evans, followed by Thomas Persch. Esther Evans, not present. Thomas Persch, followed by Monica Ibarra.
Good morning. My name is Tom Persch. I'm chairman of the West End Association. And if I had a preference, I wouldn't be here today because I don't like to be critical of the city for all that you've done for us. But you haven't fulfilled your commitments to the West End relative to the kiosk advertising program when it was approved. The contract was originally sent out to the public for comment with the Victory, the West Village, and the West End Historic District excluded. The day the contract came to council for a vote, the West End learned that we were included. At the council meeting, we spoke against our inclusion. Before the council approved the contract, there were three commitments that were made to the West End. First, the kiosks in the district would be designed to be compatible with the historic character and scale of the district. The West End would be involved in approving the locations of the kiosks, and there would be a maximum of three kiosks in the district. None of those commitments were included in the contract. There are now three kiosks, all located on North Market Street within 2.5 blocks of each other, and there is nothing to prevent other kiosks from being included in the future. The kiosks are not pedestrian in scale. One kiosk was placed in a mini event area for us, which now utilizes it for advertising instead of events. And the last one was just installed on the west side of Market Street between Ross and Corbin. It is extremely harmful to the historic district. It is grotesquely out of scale and destroys the views and ambiance of the district. A reminder is that the historic district is what's on the National Register of Historic Places, not individual buildings. We also believe the approval process for the kiosks in the district was flawed. The downtown task force disapproved them. When they went to the Landmark Commission, the commission was told they could not review for design, only for location. In my opinion, the City of Dallas has not fulfilled the spirit of the certified local government agreement it has with the Texas Historical Commission to protect historic places. The contract referenced that the CBS also has to follow all city ordinances. In my opinion, that did not happen. The integrity of the historic district was basically sold for advertising dollars, and I don't think you put a high enough priority on protecting the historic character of the district. If the district is for sale, let us do off-premise advertising, and we'll share the profits with the City of Dallas. I've asked CBS what the economic impact would be if those kiosks were removed. They just said that they have a right to be there in the district, and there was no response. Basically, I wanted a number that if they were removed, what it would cost to remove them from the district. Right now, I just really ask you to live up to your original commitments to the district, even though my preference is that the kiosks be removed completely. The West End should never have been included in the kiosk program, and the West End is committing to get them removed or redesigned. I've included photographs in the package to show you basically what we've done for the district and also the impact that these kiosks have had in the district. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Ms. Huntley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Kirsch, thank you for being here today.
Mr. Mayor, would you ask him to stay here, please?
Thank you for being here today and for talking with us about this. I remember the discussion you're referring to, and I remember it in the same way you do, in that a commitment was made to ensure that any kiosks that were in fact placed in the West End were compatible to the historic nature of the West End, and that you were consulted, the West End Association was consulted to ensure that the locations of the kiosks were appropriate. And I remember that's what we discussed when we brought the West End back into the contract and allowed kiosks to be placed there. I appreciate the pictures that you are showing us because I'm looking at one where there is a festival going on in the West End, which you have very often, and we appreciate that because of the economic development it brings and the tax dollars it brings into the city coffers. And I see that a kiosk was placed, it appears to me, right in the middle of this very large sidewalk, which appears to be hosting the event and the area where you have a lot of seating, and now you have a big kiosk in the middle of it. So what I would hope is that our city manager could, and Ms. Teresa O'Donnell could work with you and help ensure that we place these kiosks in appropriate places and that we live up to the commitment that we made to you verbally when we talked with you about the placement of kiosks in the West End.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I need to ask you a couple of questions. If number one, you know, I was not here when the kiosk, you know, contract was were put out. And I know there is quite a bit of kiosks in my district, and I know that they are at certain locations, and that is a hazard that vision you cannot see, you know, in the intersection you're coming out. Is there a contract, or could you give us a contract and just tell us where they could be located? How do they pop up? Do we get notice before they install those in your district on the right way?
Yes, there are sites that were selected and have pretty definitive restrictions involved in them that were negotiated. We can get you all that information for your area.
And so therefore, question is that, is there a site that is, you have the vision you can't see, it might be accident prone. Can we remove that?
We need to look at the individual sites. We have a commitment to have provided a certain number of sites.
Let me jump in for just a second. It seems like we could get in, and I like the counsel of the council on this. We could get into a whole host of different things. Clearly, some impact the West End, others get into it. I'm wondering if it wouldn't be better for Mary and her staff to come back with a briefing to update on where we stand on these issues, talk right. about the West End, and that sort of thing, as opposed to try to get it in kind of a fragmented fashion and really come back. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Don't need a motion if that just makes sense. I think that's probably the best way. Then we can do it in a methodical, structured way as opposed to kind of go all over the board on this.
Thank you.
And then clearly we'll let you know when that comes date, and we would love to have you back for that briefing.
Thanks.
Mr. Rozanski, did you want to add something?
Sir, I didn't hear you.
Did you want to add something, Mr.
Rozanski? Yes, thank you. I appreciate you coming. Teresa, Mayor, good to see you. NAC. I really appreciate the reason I know this. My wife and I walk every Sunday, and part of our walk is through the West Side and West End. Teresa, if you would look, I don't know if you have a comment.
Yes,
when
sir.
We did have a briefing on this, even though we might have another briefing, I brought up to your attention that I hate to see kiosks in front of retail space
yes.
that's stopping cars from looking into. And this is exactly what it is.
I'll take a look at that.
Now, we do get, Mr. Atkins, we do get advance notice. And with that advance notice, I did send it to some property owners in my district who are totally against it. I sent the letter True Channels, never heard back, not through your office, but through the city manager's office, never heard back of these two business owners' complaints about where it was going to go in. I think the mayor is right. We need to have a briefing on this. Sir, you are 100% right. These are in the way of obstruction. It's before city ballot action and then afterwards. It doesn't make sense where some of these locations are going. Unfortunately, at a prior briefing, if we had some complaints, we could get them through the channel and something could be done. That has broken down. So, AC and Mary, if you could look into that. And if we could set up a briefing as soon as possible, these are going in where people just do not want these things. Thank you.
Again, just addressing that comment.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate it. Thank you for coming down and showing us pictures of this. Thank you.
Mr. McDonald, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Furch, thank you so much. I have been in receipt of some of your letters and emails to me. That briefing will then include also the historical aspects of certainly the kiosk.
Yes.
And that will address.
I think when you work on it, you've got comments, get those to me. I'll interact with Mary. But I think what it needs to be is kind of an historical perspective, where we are, where issues have come out,
yes.
and kind of next steps and that sort of thing. So we'll try to give it a wide spectrum look on it.
I also would suggest the items that are the kiosks that we have addressed where I think Ms. Hunt and myself had situations and they were taken care of, just to give a historical perspective to the rest of the council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Madam Secretary, please.
The next speaker is Monica Ibarra, followed by Delmar Montgomery.
Council members and Mayor Tom Lepers. My name is Monica Ibarra. I live on 14647 Lassiter Road, number 33, Dallas, Texas, 75253. As a resident of Dallas, I come before you to talk to you about how important it is to have a mayor thoroughfare renamed after Cesar Chavez. I quote Mercedes Olivera, Cesar Chavez would be embarrassed over Dallas street naming debate. Cesar Chavez would be embarrassed over Dallas street naming debate? I don't think so. He would be embarrassed at the fact that a city cannot learn to be accepting of others. He would even be more embarrassed that this is an issue of racism, as many of us call it. Racism in the 20th century? Yes. Many people accuse us of playing the racism part, but it's not a racial issue. If it's not a racial issue, then why is it that blogs are filled with racist comments from both sides? Also, if this wasn't a racial issue, then why is this controversy still continuing 6 months after the survey? Why must we still write letters of support to change Industrial Boulevard to Cesar Chavez Avenue when the survey should have handled that? Yes, these are all rhetorical questions that the survey answered, just like the residents of Dallas do. Whether we like it or not, I believe there are still racist forces at work here in this building, Mr. Neil Emmons said. Racism is playing a strong role in this debate, and it was nice to hear it coming from the horseshoe. What's so wrong with renaming this Industrial Boulevard after a second-generation American-born citizen who fought in World War II and was awarded the Medal of Freedom in 1994? Mr. Chavez would not be embarrassed to know that his legacy has inspired us to use his principles to fight for equality in the city. He would be proud to know that we are not giving up in the face of great odds when the results of a city-sponsored survey are overturned because someone says that the name is not marketable. This is not democracy, that is hypocrisy. Our nation is rooted in the belief that we are all created equal, so why can't one of our streets reflect that same equality? Before I leave, I urge you to please honor the results of the survey and rename Industrial Boulevard to Cesar Chavez Avenue. And for those on the audience, to please visit our website, www.cesarchavezchassforce.com, and join the 12,000-plus supporters in writing a letter of support. Again, please rename Industrial Boulevard to Cesar Chavez Avenue.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Delmar Montgomery. Delmar Montgomery, not present. Next speaker, Alexandra Sirovica.
Good morning, Mayor Leppert and Dallas City Council. My name is Alexandra Sirovica, and I reside at 7036 Wakefield Street in Dallas, 75231. That is in District 9. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to share my thoughts and opinions with you. Your attention is most appreciated. As quoted by Dumbledore in the movie Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, we must all face the choice between what is right and what is easy. It greatly concerns me that, as it specifically relates to Jenny the Elephant, that what is right is often forgotten by what is convenient. How often do you get the chance to do something really impactful or say, I made this happen? This is your chance to be a hero and create a personal legacy as well as one for the city of Dallas. Let's take a peek into the future as we hear about breaking news headlines announcing the historic and heroic decision by the Dallas mayor and city council who came together to say, yes, Jenny is retiring in Tennessee, because it is the right thing to do. We are all faced throughout our lives with agonizing decisions and moral choices. Some are on a grand scale, but most of them are small in nature. However, we define ourselves by our choices that we make, and in fact, our choices are the sum total of who we are. The push for your decision to send Jenny to Tennessee has received great support by not only the constituents of Dallas, but from world-renowned elephant experts, people from outside our city limits, and the international community. Information presented to you many times over explains the need to remove Jenny from the Dallas Zoo and to the sanctuary and move her to the sanctuary in Tennessee. Doing so sooner than later is critical. Future generations, yours, mine, ours, will be proud to share how their fair city became known as a noble city, one of integrity, caring about its residents, elephants included. I find it an interesting coincidence that I'm able to speak today, the day where our animal control services are recognized, specifically noting the importance of their care of our animals who temporarily belong to the city of Dallas, until they find their forever home. I take the liberty today of speaking on behalf of many and respectfully request a unanimous decision in sending Jenny to her forever home in Tennessee.
We do not have to choose between what is right and what is easy. I believe the decision is both right and easy. Please send Jenny to Tennessee. Thank you.
That concludes your speakers for this morning. We continue now with your voting agenda.
Mr. Mayor. Thank you. The young lady who spoke, I take my hat off to all of y'all who come here every week to on Jenny's behalf. Unfortunately, I think you only have, I think you only have two votes here of who are willing to vote for that. But I've never seen a group so intense and so sincere to do, in my opinion, the right thing. Unfortunately, I don't know what we can do. As I said, there's only two of us here. Keep trying is all I can say. I hope time will not run out before you get your wishes.
We do as well. Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Our first item on the agenda is the minutes. Ms. Hill, could I turn to you for a resolution related to those? Then we'll go in for the approval of these specific minutes with the corrections.
Mayor and Council, I wish to propose a motion or resolution, whichever is the proper term, concerning the absences of our colleague, Ms. Angela Hunt, during the month of October, and this resolution relates to all City Council meetings missed and all committee meetings missed. I understand that in order for those to be treated as absences on city business, this council must approve it as such. Councilwoman Hunt was absent on a Marshall Memorial Fellowship. That fellowship was created by the German Marshall Fund of the United States, and it introduces future U.S. leaders to changing and expanding European ideas, and it strengthens transatlantic relationships. Every year, the fund selects 50 fellows from across the United States, and only 50. We are quite privileged that Councilwoman Hunt was selected to participate in this program. It recognizes the brightest and the best from all sectors. Councilwoman Hunt visited Brussels, Belgium, Lübeck, Germany, Turin, Italy, Belgrade, Serbia, and Copenhagen, Denmark. While there, she met with members of National Parliament, members of the European Parliament, members of NATO, and locally elected officials. She met with the Transatlantic Cities Network, which brings together United States and European cities to share innovative approaches to challenges affecting cities and regions. She visited the state-of-the-art biological mechanical waste treatment facility at Lübeck, Germany, where they convert trash to electricity. And colleagues, that's something I would certainly hope that we would look at and pick her brain about. She met with Valentino Castellano, who is a former mayor of Turin and head of the Torino Olympic Committee. She toured Copenhagen's bicycle infrastructure, Ms. Coop, that certainly does go to air quality. And Ms. Mitrano, she met with homeless assistance representatives and visited with a number of homeless children. Colleagues, it is beyond my imagination that this tremendous trip and recognition could not be city business, and therefore, Mayor, I move that Ms. Hunt's absences be treated as absent on city business for all of the dates appropriate.
It's been seconded. Any other discussion? Ms. Cooper?
We called Ms. Hunt. She came to each of us and asked us what did we want her to study while she was over there. So I look forward to chatting with her about the things that I encouraged her to look at while she was over there, because I know that places in Europe do transportation and planning differently there. And also I will say that just on my tenure on the City Council, that even myself and several of my colleagues have had the opportunity to be fellows of programs and so on and so forth. It's so important for our education of our council to encourage, I know Dr. Garcia was a fellow too at the Aspen Institute. It's so important for our colleagues to encourage this kind of education amongst ourselves, because this is where we truly learn and bring back things that are important to our city. And I certainly will be supporting this. And I also do want to say that when this comes up in the future, these kinds of educational opportunities, that we all kind of look at the model that Ms. Hunt has shown us, to ask our colleagues what can they bring back to help the council, and also to encourage them to go in so doing, be a little bit relaxed on the number of absences that we can have, especially when there are educational opportunities available to us. Thank you.
Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. I'll also be supporting Ms. Feld's resolution. These are very important, and I know that Ms. Hunt asked each and every one of us, and I think I gave her at least a half a page, in particular with education and in Europe, and how art plays a very important role in education. And I think that will help us and definitely our priority and being a well-educated city. Therefore, we can either expand and recruit major companies and businesses here, and let them know that we have a well-educated workforce and ready to receive them. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mayor. And I also want to commend Ms. Hunt on being selected as a fellow. However, I do have some concerns about doing this. This is the first time since I've been in the council that we've been presented with something like this. And while it's very important, and I agree with Ms. Krupa and Ms. Medrano's comment, it does create a hardship sometimes for the rest of the council when we have someone missing for a long period of time. I believe that it's important, for all of us to be Mondays and Wednesdays, because it's when the decisions that this council moves an agenda forward are made. So while I am going to support this, because it's an honor, it's a great honor, I do believe that we all get paid by the citizens of Dallas to be here on Mondays and Wednesdays. Yes, education is very important. Yes, to sell our city all over the country is extremely important as well. But we have to cancel, at least two committee meetings because of lack of quorum, and we have to defer several items because of the same reasons. And that always puts our city agenda behind. So, again, thank you. I will be supporting this motion. However, I hope that we all understand that the charter is very clear and that our responsibility is to be here on Mondays and Wednesdays in every single committee that we all belong to. Thank you, Mayor. And, again, thank you for the goodies in front. They're delicious.
This is Anthony. Mr. Mayor, thank you. Again, I want to thank Angela. There's always exceptions to charters, especially when you have one as highly as this example. I want to thank Angela for everything, and it's an honor on the Dallas City Council and citizens of Dallas. I just ask you one thing. If it happens again, would you bring back some sugar-free candy? We'd appreciate it. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Allen, please.
I too will be supporting this. I think any opportunity that you have to do something along those lines, the education that you get, what you bring back to as a councilman, what you bring back to this horseshoe for sometimes outweighs maybe being gone or so. It's a balancing act that we do. But at the end of the day, the new horizons that you've seen and that's increased your imagination will truly, truly benefit this city. And again, what an honor to be picked out of 50 in the United States of America. So I definitely will be supporting you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Yeah. Again, Angela, I will be supporting the motion. It's kind of ironic that, if you stay in your backyard and you never crawl up a fence or look at the other side and see what's going on, you never know what you have in your backyard. Just by saying that, thank you for bringing some highlight, because you did climb the fence and did see the other side of someone else's backyard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I view my role, our role as citizen volunteers,
this is not a profession, this is not a career. And in order to be an effective citizen volunteer in a city council forum, we need information, we need the ability to constantly draw from not only things within our city, within our district, within our state, within our country. So it's all about the drawing process. So I'm supportive of the motion. I think it's part of our service. I support things that we as individual council members do to help be stronger citizen volunteers. And this is just one of the many layers of training that we learn as we go through this process. So I'm supportive of it. We have to remember, we're volunteers at this. We're citizen volunteers. Yes, we get paid a small stipend, but in order to be effective leaders and advocates and decision makers for our citizens, we've got to constantly be pulling knowledge. So I feel this is a building block and a positive thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor Leffert. Angela, I will be supporting this along with my other colleagues. I just want to I did also take a trip out of the country, and I will be getting with Mayor Leffert. I went to Central America, Belize. I met a city government that's not like ours. It is a very poor city government. Belize, they're asking for help. They're asking for help. Street infrastructure, sidewalk infrastructure. The country is 25 and under. 25 and under. Very young country. They have a new prime minister. I was just, you just appreciate where you come from when you go to another country and see the conditions. They have a very young mayor. She's only 30 years old. And the new prime minister is extremely young. So I will be getting with Mayor Leffert to talk about, they've asked for an invitation for our mayor to come to Belize to meet with their prime minister and their mayor. But I think I'm going to go behind Dave. I think our stipend is extremely small. We only have a $16,000 budget, and by the time we do two meetings, all the money is gone. And we got to work that for 2 years out of a $16,000 budget with a city, the fifth largest city in the country. So, I mean, any trip that I go on, I think I try to go on behalf of the city of Dallas. And from my understanding, we all write a letter letting our colleagues that we're going to be out that day. And I try not to miss any of my meetings, any of my committee meetings. So I just think that as a newbie on the council, I think it's well deserved to go to other places and see other things, learn other things, and bring it back to our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank my colleagues for their kind words. I thank Judge Hill for this motion. It was a great honor for me to have this opportunity to go abroad and to meet with leaders in Europe and also to visit cities that may have very good practices that we may look forward to adopting. I think it meant a lot to me that I heard so much from my colleagues before the trip about what I should investigate. And I took that to heart, and I submitted that to the German Marshall Fund, and I said, please help me investigate these specific issues. It was particularly helpful, Ms. Medrano, the 4 or 5 page single space, 8-point font document that you gave me, I submitted that as is to the German Marshall Fund. But it was, I hope I represented Dallas well. I was always introduced as a council member from the city of Dallas. And to have the opportunity, for example, to talk with Mayor Castellani from the city of Turin, Italy, who brought the 2006 Winter Olympics to his city, and they invested. And he told me that he used that event not just as a fun 2-week sporting event to bring a measure of economic development to the city, but rather as a jumping off point, as leverage to create incredible transformational infrastructure change in their city. And they did that. They buried these incredibly large rail lines that had divided their city between the city center and the industrial part of their city for decades. They buried that and put a gracious and beautiful boulevard. They created, and I know Ms. Koop will be interested in this, they created light rail systems across the city that now crisscross the city. And again, that was as a result of winning the Olympics. So they invested over $2 billion in those type of infrastructure improvements. And another $1 billion was spent on the games itself. 60% of that was actually funneled back into the city because they hired people from throughout Turin to make the changes that were needed to construct the sites, et cetera. But it was very exciting for me to see. And again, in another city, we saw a Polytechnic Institute and watched how they, Ms. Medrano, used that Polytechnic Institute to bring technology businesses to the city. So I'm very hopeful that the things I did learn and the connections I made and the relationships that I hopefully built are able to transition into some very positive changes and additions to the city of Dallas. Again, colleagues, I thank you. And I would note this was at no cost to the taxpayers of the city of Dallas. And I would also note, and I agree with my colleagues who mentioned that we all have to take care to make sure that we're at our council meetings. I try to always be extremely thoughtful about that. You know, I take my job very, very seriously in that way. I would think that some of the only other meetings I've missed may have been due to my father's illness and his passing. So I take it very seriously. I appreciate working with you all. It's an honor to work with you, and I thank you for this opportunity to go abroad and hopefully bring some very positive things back to the city of Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Great. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Now, if I could have a motion, the minutes have been distributed in advance of those of October 15th of 2008, and if you would incorporate into your motion the corrections to those minutes that are included in the memorandum from Ms. Watkins dated November 4th to the City Council. Motion to that effect? It's been moved. It's been seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Let me give, it's 10:47, let me give an overview of the remainder of the agenda, what we want to do. We'll go into the appointments, and then there's several items that we'll go ahead and vote on. Those are agenda items that we'll consider. After that, we'll go into executive session. Executive session will be for the purposes of the performance reviews of Ms. Sue, Mr. Perkins, Mr. Kitten, and Ms. Watkins. We will run that until about 10:45-ish, and then I know a number of folks are going to join the Passport to Health luncheon. I anticipate that we'll be back in session, and again, when we go back in session, I assume that we'll be back into executive session. So we won't be able to get through everything at that point. That will be approximately 1:30. We'll go back into executive session. We'll finish those up. The rough guess says, rough guess is somewhere in the area of probably 2:30 or 3 o'clock. We'll come back into regular session. Then that will be the briefing on the smoking ordinance. That, again, my guess will run for a good hour and a half or so, and that would leave then the afternoon speaker somewhere in that 4 to 5 range. And that will be kind of the overview of the agenda. So with that, if there's no questions.
Yes, pardon me, Mayor. 1:30, for sure you want us back here.
Yes, that's what I anticipate. Okay. And again,
won't start before then.
It won't start before then, probably in that 1:30, 1:40. But if we can be back here at 1:30, again, depending on how long those performance reviews, we are gonna be pressed for time. With that, Madam Secretary, the appointments to boards and commissions.
Item number 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions and the evaluation and duties of board and commission members. You have for your consideration nominees for full council appointments. Nominated to the RZ06 Reinvestment Zone 6 Board Farmers Market as Dallas members by Council Member Medrano are Lily Fern Mack and Ross Sherwood Martin.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our third item.
Item number 3 is an ordinance authorizing the issuance and sale of combination tax and revenue certificates of obligation Series 2008A in an amount not to exceed $5,500,000, establishing parameters regarding the sale of the bonds, approving the execution of the bond purchase contract, and an escrow agreement and all other matters related thereto.
Mr. Dancy there, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, it came through F&A and was discussed and fine. I move for approval.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Order, Madam Secretary. Number 4, short reading.
And number 4, an ordinance authorizing issuance of sale of equipment acquisition contractual obligation series 2008 bonds in the amount not to exceed $40 million.
Okay.
establishing parameters.
Mr. Atkins? Mr. Atkins moved. Ms. Hill seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our fifth item.
An ordinance authorizing issuance and sale of general obligation bond series 2008 not to exceed $214,670,000.
Move. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Before we go into our executive session, we do have one issue that we've got to deal with. Unfortunately, Mr. Cadane, who's usually available for these for these occasions, is not available. And as a result, I'm going to look to our soprano, Mr. Atkins, if he could lead us in a birthday celebration for Chefy Cadane.
We got a great one. Happy birthday to you.
I've totally lost control of the meeting now. I have no control over the meeting. It's now 10:51 a.m. on November 5th of 2008. The City Council now going to a closed session under Section 551.074 of the Open Meetings Act to conduct performance reviews on the following matters described on today's agenda. Those are performance reviews of Ms. Sims, Mr. Perkins, Mr. Kitten, and Ms. Watson. Let's call our meeting back to order. The next item on the agenda is a briefing in regard to possible amendments to the smoking ordinance. What I'm going to ask is, I know there are three speakers that have signed up to speak. We'll take those speakers first, then I'm going to ask Forrest to give a summary of the presentation itself. That's all been distributed. It has been set out, as you see, in kind of a menu type of fashion. There's various decisions that need to be made relative to it. Once we've had that, then what I will do is I will ask Pauline Medrano, who heads up our Quality of Life Committee, to appoint a ad hoc committee. That ad hoc committee will take comments from each of the council people. It will take comments from the industry and from the public, and from that, try to pull together an intent of the council and put that in front of all of us for consideration. So with that, Madam Secretary, let's go through the three speakers.
Thank you. The meeting reconvened at 4:18. We begin your afternoon speakers on the smoking ordinance, first with Karen Hoyt Potasnik, followed by James Race. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You do have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timers. At zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual to speak. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Karen Hoyt Potasnik, and I'm Chair of Smoke Free Dallas. Thank you, Mayor Leppard, Mayor Pro Tem Garcia, and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Dwayne Carraway, and the rest of the council members for allowing me time to speak to you today. And thank you for taking up this important issue, the expansion of Dallas's smoke-free ordinance. Passing a strong, comprehensive smoke-free ordinance is one of the most important steps you can take to serve the City of Dallas, where the health of residents and workers is being endangered by exposure to secondhand smoke. Smoke-Free Dallas is an extensive, broad-based coalition of local, state, and national organizations and individuals. Our supporters include the American Cancer Society, the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, the American Heart Association, the Lance Armstrong Foundation, the American Lung Association, Texas PTA, the Dallas County Medical Society,
Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and Susan G. Komen for the Cure Advocacy Alliance, as well as many other public health organizations. Smoke-Free Dallas is asking the Dallas Mayor and City Council to extend the city's current smoking ordinance to include all indoor workplaces, including freestanding bars. It's time for Dallas to join the 21 cities in Texas that already have such comprehensive smoke-free ordinances in place, including Austin, Houston, El Paso, Plano, McKinney, and earlier this week, Flower Mound. Dallas's current ordinance passed in 2003 doesn't go far enough. It fails to protect many workers from the harmful effects of secondhand smoke. It's time we finish the job and bring Dallas's ordinance in line with the comprehensive protections enjoyed by workers and residences in almost every one of the United States' largest cities, such as New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Diego, numerous states, and countries. Every Dallas resident and employee has the right to breathe smoke-free air. Each of us deserves strong, comprehensive protections from secondhand smoke in all indoor workplaces. This is not about the legal right to smoke. It's about workplace safety. Secondhand smoke is a public health issue. Workers should not be forced to choose between a paycheck and their health. You might hear from some business owners that expanding the ordinance will hurt their business. Instead of listening to speculation and anecdotal evidence, I urge you instead to examine any of the numerous analyses of sales tax data in Texas and other states that have clearly shown that smoke-free policies do not affect the sale of alcoholic beverages in bars. A comprehensive smoke-free ordinance is clearly supported by the public. A Smoke-Free Dallas poll of Dallas voters found that 67% favor extending Dallas's smoke-free ordinance to make it comprehensive so that it covers all indoor workplaces, including bars. Our survey also found that 79% believe that the rights of customers and employees to breathe clean air inside all workplaces are more important than the rights of smokers to smoke indoors. And 65% of Dallas voters said the City Council has a responsibility to protect citizens from health risks such as secondhand smoke. Everyone deserves the right to breathe clean indoor air. I urge you to protect all Dallas citizens by supporting an expanded ordinance. Thank you.
Your next speaker is James Race, followed by Michael Doman.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for allowing us to be here. My name is Dr. James Race. I'm an internist in private practice in Oak Cliff and on Southampton. Been in Oak Cliff for about 20 years since I've been in Dallas. I'm also a longtime board member of the American Heart Association and the immediate past president. I see a lot of patients in my private practice setting in nursing homes. I'm also a team doctor for VITAS Hospice, and I do clinical trials in the office. I do a lot of end-of-life care also. A lot of what I see daily in these various settings is the consequences of smoking, either as a primary smoker or via secondhand smoke. Secondhand smoking is dangerous and deadly. The only way to fully protect people is to eliminate smoking in indoor spaces where the environment is closed and the dangerous air is more concentrated. Exposure to secondhand smoke has all the ramifications of primary exposure to smoking: increased risk of heart disease, stroke, lung and other cancers, emphysema and asthma, even low birth weight babies and other medical problems. It can increase the risk of heart disease among non-smokers by 60%, and 53,000 Americans each year die of secondhand smoking-related illnesses. A study published in 2004 in the British Medical Journal was the first study to show the effects of the physical link between secondhand smoke exposure and an increased risk of heart disease, and really made this an issue for us in the medical community. I have had and continue to treat patients whose disease process was the result of secondhand smoke. As a matter of fact, I actually have a lady who's coming into the office tomorrow who developed severe emphysema and lung cancer as a result of secondhand smoking from her exposure as a waitress working in various bars and restaurants for most of her adult life. She is currently on oxygen all the time, and she is on hospice because her life expectancy is only the next 3 to 4 months. There is evidence that smoke-free workplace laws do make a difference. In Ireland, 1 year after a national smoke-free law was passed in 2004, air pollutants inside pubs fell by more than 83%, and on subsequent tests, the lung function of pub workers improved significantly over what they were before the tests were done before the smoking ordinance was passed. In another example, heart health immediately and noticeably improved in non-smokers, and fewer people were hospitalized for heart attacks and smoking-related cardiovascular disease after smoke-free workplace laws took effect in Colorado, Indiana, Montana, New York, Ohio, and overseas in Ireland, Italy, and Scotland, and this has been verified by several studies. Let me stress that there is no risk-free or acceptable level of exposure to secondhand smoke. To be effective, a smoke-free ordinance must be comprehensive, must eliminate smoking in indoor public places. This is the only way to protect patrons and workers and reduce their risk of suffering the consequences of a multitude of deadly health problems. Thank you for considering this today. I think it is the right thing to do to protect the health of the citizens of Dallas, and I'll be available to ask any questions as you discuss this issue further. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your final speaker on the smoking ordinance is Michael Doman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, City Council. I'm here on behalf of the Dallas Tavern Guild. We represent 20 of the LGBT bars and nightclubs in the Oaklawn area and other surrounding areas of the community. We are primarily a nonprofit fundraising organization. We produce the annual Alan Ross Texas Freedom Parade and the festival in Lee Park. And our collective 20 member clubs host somewhere between 250 and 300 fundraising events annually. And the proceeds of all of those go to various North Texas charities, health service agencies, and nonprofit organizations. Our concern as business people is we do not want to alienate a portion of our clientele, but we think a very feasible and a very reasonable compromise would be if in drafting this, if we could consider an unenclosed area such as a patio to be exempt from the smoking. We are certainly in favor of non-smoking in our indoor facilities. We think it will help the environment. It will be a cleaner, it'd be a cleaner space for not only our customers, but for the employees who work in this environment, but yet it will still offer a place for our customers who do smoke to feel welcome in our clubs and come and enjoy in a safe and a coordinated and controlled environment. The safety issues without a patio or without any exterior would be forcing people out onto the streets to the front or the sides or wherever the exits of are your club onto the streets. And this becomes a safety hazard. Obviously, there could be a collection of people near the front door. It makes it difficult for traffic to get in and out. If it gets too congested, people could actually be forced out into the street. There could be an accident. If they are contained on a patio, then the bars also have the responsibility of cleaning up after there is a sanitation issue. There's no cigarette butts lying around on the street or in the public areas. It's within the confines of the business. We don't want the clubs have committed with their staff and management to remove ashtrays, post no smoking signs, and the staff and management would help to enforce this policy if it were in place, and we would direct our customers to smoke on the designated patio areas. We think that this is a safer environment, and it's something that could appease everyone. We would still have smoke-free indoor environment in our clubs, which would probably increase business by people who don't attend because of smoke and secondhand smoke, and would also create a place for folks to go who do smoke and still be included in our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Horace, can I turn to you?
Just to do you a summary of this briefing, you've had it in your handout. On page 2, we really just want to focus on the history, the brief history. The council amended its current smoking ordinance in 2003. And you can see there the history. It provided a distinction between eating establishments and bars and restaurants. Page 3, the current policy, when the council and back then made the amendment, they wanted a distinction between bars. They provided for a definition, 75% revenue for bars from sale of alcohol beverages and 70 for pool hall. Current policy on page 4, it just defines for you where smoking is allowed, who's exempt. On page 5, the current enforcement policy, it is enforced on a complaint basis. We have some items in your packet to talk about how often we respond to complaints for smoking. There is also an element when our sanitarians go to the restaurants for their twice annual inspection of a restaurant. They inspect for compliance with the smoking ordinance at that time. It sets out the fines and punishments that set forth in the plan. On page 6, just by way of transition, there's a wide spectrum of ways to regulate smoking, ranging from smoke-free environment to some level of smoking. And on the next page, we wanted to just discuss with you a bit where does Dallas fall within that spectrum. If you consider where we are and what we allow, we're just to the left of center. The smoke-free model, some people refer to it as the California model, is a smoke-free environment. On page 8, we give some elements, if you will, of the smoke-free environment. Basically, you cannot smoke in public places that are open to the general public unless they're specified in the ordinance. Places of employment, multi-tenant establishments are excluded, and unenclosed places in hotels, bars, and restaurants. Page 9 gives you the real simple place where you could smoke under the smoke-free model, and that would be at your home. There's some other bullets there that kind of goes into a little bit more detail, but the fact is smoking would be limited in the smoke-free model. On page 10 and for the remainder of the briefing, this is a kind of a design to allow you for planning or a decision tree, if you will, to kind of walk through what we have now, marked or not marked, what you think we should do, and use these pages as a way to consider any amendments to the ordinance if you wanted to. The next element that I would direct you to would be the page that talks about budget impacts on page 14, just briefly. The assumption is if we have it as continue to be complaint-driven, this is assuming consensus. You see there the budget impacts. Page 15 assumes moving toward a more proactive approach. That is a planning number. $1.1 million is a baseline to start from in terms of what a proactive model would look like. And then on page 16, if there is consensus to make changes, we would want to draft a smoking policy and consider for a council vote on the 19th or some other date if you should choose, and finally establish an effective date that an ordinance might be going into place. And with that, any questions that you might have?
Terrific. Appreciate that. That's a good overview, and again, gives us a good perspective. What I've asked, as I indicated to some of you, I've asked Pauline Medrano, who heads up our quality of life, to appoint an ad hoc committee. So again, if you're interested in serving on that, I'd ask you to get a hold of Pauline. She'll try to balance it and that sort of thing. And then to craft something based on the menu that we have here that'll try to capture the wishes of the council and then bring it forward to the council for discussion. Is that reasonable, Pauline?
Okay.
Right. So again, you have to communicate with Pauline if you'd like to be involved in that. Again, it's going to be up to her, though, to balance it, because she's going to have to find the right membership of it. But that will rest on her. And fair enough. So, again, communicate with Pauline.
Mayor, I want to recognize former council member at Oakley, which is in the audience today.
Thank you.
Please stand up, Mr. Oakley. Be recognized. I can recognize.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. And I also, we appreciate each one of you being. We know that this went a little bit longer than was anticipated, or a lot longer than was anticipated. And we appreciate the comments that were made in the speakers. And I think as a number of you have communicated to individual council members, we appreciate that input on an ongoing basis, too. We know it's an important issue, and we want to deal with it the right way. Thank you very much, Morris. We appreciate it. With that, we're now at 4:34 on November 5th. We'll go back into an executive session under Section 551.074 of the Open Meetings to conduct performance reviews. Those reviews will be of Mr. Tom Perkins. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And then after we complete that, we'll come back into session for our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin your afternoon speakers with Judith Waldrop, followed by Jimmy Page. Judy Waldrop is not present. Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page is not present. Next speaker is Cindy Carlson, followed by Barbara Brusino. Go ahead and state your name for the record. You do have 3 minutes to speak.
Cindy Carlson. I represent the bridge. I am currently staying there. Bridge employees and volunteers are throwing personal belongings out into the dumpster while guests are at the bridge for services. They're coming there. They put their stuff down because it's heavy. And while they're doing that and they're getting services, they come out with this big bin and they collect people's belongings and they're putting them in the dumpster. I have signatures and names of people who have lost Texas IDs, Social Security cards, birth certificates. One man told me he lost his uniform. He works for the city. And it's just causing setbacks in these people's lives. And they get angry. But it, from what I understand, this has been going on since June. And I think it's coming from MDHA. I don't think it's the city. I commend the city for the bridge. I appreciate it. I think it's a great program, but I don't think it's just to do this to the poor. And if I may, if there's a poor man with you, one of your brothers in any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother, Deuteronomy 15:7. So I have copies, and I hope that some action can be taken. Somebody do something.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't see someone from our, is there anyone from our city manager's office here? Okay. Okay, we need to know, Mr. Mayor, if you would help me remember this. We need to find out about this issue because that is very troubling, and I know folks work very hard, and it's particular. Yeah, there are several copies of this.
Yeah, copy of my notes. I have a speech, and I bulleted it.
No, this is great, and this is very helpful. We'll work on this. I'm sorry that that's been happening. We'll work on this.
Okay.
Take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Barbara Brusino, followed by Albert Ruiz. Barbara Brusino is not present. Albert Ruiz is not present. Next speaker, Melissa Zales, followed by Ozumba Lunks. Melissa Zales is not present. Ozumba Lunks, followed by Frank Ward.
All praise is due to God, Creator, first and last. I think we made biblical history the other day. We'll wait to see how things turn out. As you know, I'm here because I was arrested for defending my life by Honorable Gerard Jane on 8-23-04, 8-23-2004. Put me in jail, didn't let me on my medication or nothing, and the jail was dirty and unacceptable, unsanitary, and I had counsel. Greg Long, the prosecuting attorney and now works in civil, took one of the witnesses who would run a drug deal, look out a man, and had to testify against my son, and my son been feeling about 9 years. Of course, the jury, the witness, and all of you, honorable crooks, I want justice, and I ask God to let you feel what I feel, double dose. You know, I'm a veteran, Vietnam era vet. Didn't steal, wasn't a crook, tried to do the right thing. You put me in jail. There was another police couple on the site, like I said, tried to tell Hunrad. Hunrad wouldn't listen. He took it over. You know, I love my country, but I want the same rights for everybody else here. Constitution and my civil liberty rights, I want them. I don't want nothing short of those rights. I want to stand right. So I'm upset about what happened to me. You broke my family up. You messed me around. So now you're stuck with me. I'm not running. You know, just like I tried to tell y'all before, I'm not that Negro. You got me mixed up with another Negro. Okay? My name is Chief Uzuma Wagalula, who loved God and Jesus Christ. And I asked him to keep me and keep me strong. I remember when I got the military in six, well, when I was coming through Arizona in 1967, I remember some very distinct memory, that I couldn't get a hotel room or a place to take a shower. Arizona in 1967. Racism is alive and well here in Dallas. You all are trying to hide it. You don't want nobody to know. But I wrote the FBI Department, FBI Department of Justice, and I'm going to continue to write them until they come and do some investigation. No one ever apologized to me, told me why they put me in jail. You've been beating down on me since 2000, and I want to know why. You ran across my property, missed my fence up, cut my tree down, everything I come to this city about. And I guess the guys investigating look like Willie Lynch's cousin. They say, ain't nothing helping you. Because you know what? I help Negroes all the time. Don't nobody care. I'm an African American. It happens to us all the time. Nobody cares. I'm tired of getting this second-hand justice the way I stood for my country and was willing to die for my country. That's why I didn't re-up, because of all this crap. But just like I said, all of them asked this for to be treated fairly and justifiably. You didn't want to pay me money or nothing when you put me in jail. For probation, nothing, man. Y'all just did me wrong. And I'm upset, and I'm not going anywhere until you try to straighten with me. You don't even apologize to me, nothing. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Frank Ward, followed by Rusty Tomlinson.
Justice Department, I'll be on in about 17 days.
Good evening. My name is Frank Ward. Oh, glory to God. I just want to say that a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the defining moment for this city and for this country. And we passed that test now that the real work began. And last week I also mentioned about addressed the good old boy system and the House Negroes and the sellouts. And I'd like to replace that with as we get rid of the good old boy system with mighty men of valor. The House Negroes, mighty men of valor. The sellouts, mighty men of valor. You know, truly, our leaders have conformed a lot to get to where they were. And this is a defining moment in this city. But I'd like for you all to keep in mind that the government was made by the people for the people. And all of y'all that have been voted in office were voted in office to address the needs and the concerns of your constituents in your district and in your community. I'm all about progress moving forward, but it seems that you're more interested in the agenda of the government than you are of your constituents. And this is very important that we not lose focus of what's really important. Like I said a couple of weeks ago also, that you're in a temporary position making decisions that affect people's lives permanently. And I also mentioned the fact that no election was won by any African American without the vote of the poor and the uneducated. You know, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, you know, the Bible says that the woman, after being seized by the devil, looked at the food and saw it was pleasing to the eyes and was good for food and known to make one wise. She did eat and gave to the man. You know, this is the best thing and the worst thing about education. Education is definitely a foundation that is needed. But when it's used in such a way that divides us and separates us and calls us not to even be concerned for those that are less fortunate, it's not God's intent. And I don't think that any of you was voted in office to do such. I'm really happy. I may not look like it, but I'm still here. I'm standing. I know a lot of things have worked against me, but I truly believe that all things work together for my good because I love God and I'm the called according to His purpose. And no weapon or weapon formed against me shall prosper, for I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And it's by His stripes that I'm healed, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I am the righteousness of God. God made me His righteousness and His elect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Rusty Tomlinson, is not present. Jerlene Hollins is not present. William Hopkins is not present. Your last speaker this afternoon is Gwen Wooten.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Wooten, native born Dallas, site of 100 years roots in the city of Dallas. Private had to make me come down here and talk crazy. Anyway, now y'all keep eliminating us from y'all broadcast. Now, I don't know how y'all do that. Now, I don't know who's doing it. But I think it needs to stop because we're looking for a pro bono attorney so we can sue you and you'll have another executive meeting. I come down here to talk to you all about the redistribution of wealth. Now, when President-elect Obama said he was going to redistribute wealth, everybody got upset. And most of the folks who got upset are going to celebrate the redistribution of wealth Thanksgiving. Because that's what the Native Americans did when they fed you and gave you somewhere to live and taught you how to survive in this country. That was a redistribution of their wealth. Where Rome had their gold and Africa's as well. Where the mother of Queen Elizabeth has the gold and diamonds. That's a redistribution of America's and Africa's wealth. Now, it's been coming time we got to rob the country and took all the money. Don't nobody know where all this money went to. But y'all know where it is. And Europe, what did Europe have? Why did you leave? If you was wealthy in Europe, why did you come over here and take all these people's stuff? If you hadn't had anything, you'd have stayed at home like I'd have stayed in Africa if you hadn't came over there and got me. Now, my ancestors worked in this country 200-300 years for free. That's a redistribution of wealth. The cotton bowl, the cotton exchange, that's free labor. That's how your ancestors got money from abusing people and taking their stuff. And that's wrong. Just like it's wrong for y'all to sit here and act like we're not citizens of this city. Mayor Lever, we were in one debate, and in that debate, I said, I'm here because I want to represent me, because there's no one here representing me. And that's why I'm here now, because nobody here is representing me. Y'all represent the cows, the dogs, the cats, the elephants, everything that's represented down here of a poverty-stricken people. I'm not no criminal. I'll break y'all off. I don't want to go to jail, but I ain't got no gun. But I want representation down here, and y'all have had us sitting out there while y'all was around that other side in that lobby. I ain't gonna tell nobody what y'all know. I ain't gonna tell everybody. But y'all need to stop that, and y'all have to start respecting us because this is the worst stuff I've seen in the last 30 years. This don't make no sense. And I think there's been some city managers and some mayors down here that I wasn't in love with all of them. But I know them all from Eric Johnson to now. You can go to a Baylor meeting and they can tell you about Wayne Wooten, Mayor Leopard. And you know it. And thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's 5:52 and we're adjourned for today. Thank you very much.